Now, the accountability partner no one asked for, Kevin McCrary. Here's Say Goodnight, Kevin.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Say Goodnight, Kevin podcast. Today, I am really excited to be joined by the one and the only Ashley Bratcher. Ashley is best known for her role in Princess Cut, of course, as the star, and then slightly known lately with her role as the star of the film Unplanned.
Yeah, and, I'd like to think that most people will start remembering me for that.
Yeah. Not your role in the Kendrick Brothers film? Which one were you in?
Well, you know what? That's a fun story to explain. So I was in War Room,
yes,
but you can only see my part in the bonus features of the DVD because my part was cut from the theatrical run. So people are always like, so where can I see you? And I'm always like, on your DVD.
If you get the DVD of War Room and then navigate to the bonus features... am the star of the bonus features.
It happens, though. I mean, even really great, wonderful actors get cut. Mm-hmm. But when War Room was released, the Kendrick Brothers were so kind to still give me credit and invite me to everything and include me in everything. And so when it came out, IMDb didn't sort it by the cast list or anything. So I looked like I was the star of War Room.
Oh, because of your name?
Yeah, so everywhere it was listed, it had me as one of the stars of the movie, which was really confusing for people.
So I'd love to find out about, because I don't necessarily go looking for people to be on my show. Oftentimes, they come to me, and that's not a brag on myself. It's just, it means that I've made fun of them, and they then have noticed whether good or bad, and then I'm like, hey, you should be on my podcast. Though for you... I kept on getting messages from people who were working with you on an upcoming film and said, hey, I saw your review because Ashley shared it with me of the film Princess Cut.
That's funny.
And it kind of baffles my mind. So I was like, why? Why would she want to tell people about this? I'm honored. Don't get me wrong.
Well, because, I mean, I've never laughed so hard at something that made fun of me. I'm pretty sure that I laughed so hard that I cried when I watched your review because, I mean, there's so many things in it that are so true. And that's been my goal working in faith-based film is to bring that level of authenticity, you know, the grittiness. Not all stories of redemption are pretty. Let's be real. That's not the case. And so my career since then has kind of taken a different path. I'm still involved in the Princess Cut family. You may have noticed there is a Princess Cut 2 and 3.
I have heard about that. Now, I don't know if everybody listening has heard, but that's, I'm sure we can get into that a little bit, hopefully.
Surprise. Yeah, there's a Princess Cut 2 and 3. I'm in Princess Cut 2.
Oh, you're not in the third one, though?
I'm not.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, it's known because it's on IMDb and my name's not listed. So, I mean, people will figure that out. But the Mungers are wonderful people. I think they have a really great message. So, you know, they were great to me. They opened a lot of doors. I have a lot of love and respect for them. So I was happy to be a part of Princess Cut 2 and watch what happens with the series as it goes forward. I don't know if there'll be a Princess Cut 10 or anything.
Oh, well, I'm hoping so. This will be like one of those B-rated horror films. So is this going to be kind of like Christmas Shoes where Rob Lowe kind of makes an appearance in the second one and then just is nowhere to be found in the third one? Or can you tell us your involvement? Is it a continuation of your character?
It is a continuation of my character. That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
You'll have to watch it to find out.
I always love to pry about spoilers with these these films. I may be one of the few. You know, I carry that burden to pry into spoilers for Christian films.
Great.
Maybe I'll write up a fan theory.
Yeah, you should do that. I would love to read that.
I have to imagine there's some things in the review that I did that you didn't like.
You know, I don't think there was.
Okay, well, good.
I think you're hilarious. And it was good to be able to laugh at myself. And I think that your reviews are great criticism. I think a lot of it is constructive criticism because it's not just all horrible. And I think that as filmmakers, we should read the bad reviews too, or the more critical ones, because if we want to get better and we want to reach our audience, then we should be looking at what our audience is saying.
Yeah, I agree. I'm fascinated by that because, I don't know, I get a lot of flack I'm not heartless. And so I think I also think about the criticisms that come my way. And as a Christian, I want to think about how I'm treating people who are Christians and how I'm treating people, especially who aren't Christians. I want to make sure that I'm not doing the things that I say that I don't want to see Christians do.
Right.
I think that there is a level to where we should hold each other accountable. You know, obviously, I think my show, I think, goes beyond that. I am making jokes about content, but there is a level to where, you know, loving others doesn't mean saying like, yeah, this is good because it claims to be part of my group.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Now, I heard that Princess Cut is the new one has a little bit higher budget. Is that right?
Yeah, it does. The script went through a lot of rewrites from the beginning. The first Princess Cut 2 script I read compared to what is actually going on the screen is completely different.
So what are things about that movie that you feel comfortable saying that you like and that you don't like and that make you fine with being in it, but also feel like you differ a little bit?
Okay, well, I thought of it in doing it as something similar to Princess Diaries with Anne Hathaway. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an ideology, right? Like, it's for me, it wasn't something that I thought was a reality. And then I started working with people on the set and I realized, oh my gosh, there are people who this is real life experience for them. I mean, it wasn't for me because I guess I was a heathen when I was younger.
But I guess so. Did you go to public school?
I did.
Oh my goodness. For shame. I can't believe I'm even talking to you.
But look, I have learned a lot and I've grown a lot in my faith. And I understand that there are Christians who live just very differently than I do. And they have, some people have made it through relationships and had their first kiss at the altar, which is incredible. Like, more power to you, because I don't know of, I can probably count on two hands how many people I know that have been able to do that. And I thought that there were a lot of great principles in Princess Cut that were wonderful. I mean, there were some great things about how to approach a relationship with a heart for Christ. And it did have a great message of how to love someone else with the heart of Christ, even when things aren't going the way you want them to understand that you can still love someone that maybe you're not going to be with. Obviously, Grace and Clinton up together, but she was still trying to love him and let him do what he was going to do with his life. So I thought there were a lot of really great principles there, but I kind of looked at it as a niche market for maybe girls who were like 9 to 13. Mm-hmm. And apparently there were a lot of people who thought, well, this is a worldwide message. And I thought, I don't know. I don't think you're going to reach everybody with this movie, but it is good for your target demographic. And we just had a different idea of what that target demographic looked like. I think that Princess Cut 2 and 3 has a much wider net for sure.
Okay.
I think there's more adult content, but it's still content that's family friendly, according to Caleb. Okay. Like,
yes,
Caleb
please.
Would totally promote this movie. Okay.
Good.
I don't think they would promote this movie. But I think there are more complex issues in Princess Cut 2 and 3. So I was glad to see it kind of take a more in-depth look at the complexities of being in a marriage that maybe is struggling, or some issues that we face in life that aren't always pretty, but we can find God in the details. And so I'm happy that it's going in that direction.
My hope is that it deals with the ramifications of your father being more in love with your husband than you are.
Joseph, who plays Clint, has seen it too. And we just laugh so hard. But we're the kind of people who like to laugh at ourselves and can take criticism. I mean, some people are a little more sensitive than I think me and Joseph are.
Oh, so for sure. Yes, believe
we
me.
We had
you don't have
a
to
good
tell
laugh.
Me. That's good. I mean, I think that is really good to kind of have that attitude. I appreciate it. But I'm like, why would she not hate me? You may after my unplanned review.
No, I doubt it. I know some other people will.
Yes.
They will, so I won't have to.
Yes. Well, good. Well, I look forward to Princess Cut 2 and 3. I'm pretty sure I'll review those movies when they come out.
Oh, you have to.
So I wanted to ask about the movie Unplanned.
Yeah.
Because you've been doing a lot of interviews and talking to a lot of people, and I follow you on Twitter. And recently you posted something, and I retweeted it, about K-Love, and there was kind of a debacle In the tweet, it said, "I respect Caleb's commitment to family-friendly content. Please reconsider your decision to boycott the station. I believe that we can all agree that the intention of their hearts is to bring people closer to Christ." I don't know how much you can talk about all of that, but I wanted to know
I totally can.
What happened having to do with the movie Unplanned behind the scenes or in front of the scenes with K-Love. And then I'm trying not to like say, here's all of the things, because I don't want you to have to say things that you don't want to talk about. So I'll let you expand upon
that's okay. I'm happy to talk about it because I haven't really spoken out about how I feel regarding that.
Yeah.
Initially, when we started trying to advertise, we were declined by almost all of the avenues we tried to go. I mean, major networks were not accepting it, including Hallmark. Lifetime turned it down because they said it was sensitive material, which I thought was absolutely hilarious because I think everything they make is revolving around sensitive material. Mm. So that being the reason was kind of interesting. We had major news networks say no because they didn't want to be a part of controversial material. And then, you know, we turned to our Christian outlets and K-Love, they turned us down because they said they had a commitment to family-friendly content.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it kind of caused an uproar. And initially, I was kind of baffled by it. And I was a little bit offended because if they're claiming to be a Christian network, it seemed like they would support something that is obviously at the heart of our faith, which is the sanctity of human life. We believe we're all created in the image of God and that we have a duty to protect that life. And based on scripture, it says in Jeremiah, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb." I mean, there's tons of scripture that supports the sanctity of human life. And so then they came back and said, "Well, we didn't promote it because it's rated R." So then their listeners were outraged because they promoted Passion of the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of sat down and thought about it one day, and I had a conversation with my husband, and we just kind of discussed how different people have different ministries, and they reach people in different ways. I mean, the conversation came up about Carl Lentz, who's the pastor of Hillsong, and how he was on The View, and he didn't speak out and make a statement about abortion. He just said that he wanted to love people where they were, get to know them first, and lead them to a relationship with Christ. And I thought, you know, that is a lot of people's ministry, is to walk people who are finding their faith into a relationship with Christ. And in the instance with abortion, that is a heart issue, as are a lot of sins. When we come into a relationship with Christ and we start to dig deeper into our faith, I think that that relationship convicts us of our sins. And we say, "Oh, well, I don't want to do that anymore." Or, "Wow, that is a sin. And I'm awakened from it now."
Hmm.
And so I feel like with abortion, and especially our movie being rated R, I've seen it. I do think it should be rated R. I think that abortion is a rated R topic, and there are some graphic elements to the film. So I agree with our rating, and our film is very different from Passion of the Christ. I think that abortion is obviously a sensitive topic, and parents should be able to discern when they're ready to talk to their children about it. And I don't think by any means that we should sugarcoat it, but I think that parents know the maturity level of their children best. So mm-hmm. I felt like, you know, K-Love's statement that they were committed to family-friendly radio was sufficient for me, because I think their intention of their hearts is to lead people to Christ. And if they don't want to talk about it because they have parents listening and children listening and homeschool students listening, then fine. People have brought up the idea that, you know, they didn't have to mention the word abortion in their advertising. Okay, great. But they're going to talk about Unplanned and people are going to look it up. Mm-hmm. Kids have technology at their fingertips. If they hear about this movie and how wonderful it is, some kids are going to look it up and then they're going to say, "Well, what is this?" Well, for me, I want to be able to have that conversation with my kid first. And I did. He's 9 years old. But I knew how I wanted to talk to him about it. And I feel like, you know, parents should be the ones to talk to their kids about it. That's just the simple answer for me.
Well, and I would be interested, because Passion of the Christ was 15 years ago or mm-hmm. more. I'd be interested to know if they would advertise that movie now with the people who are involved. There's just no way to know. There could be policy changes. There could be staff changes. I don't know. I just wonder, you know, I think that they are coming out with a Passion of the Christ too. So perhaps maybe we'll find out then.
I know. I'm actually pretty excited about that. Yeah. They need to call me. I want to do it.
you could be in that. To me, I guess I want to give people the benefit of the doubt in a lot of situations.
Mm-hmm.
And especially I would not want to just come right out and say K-Love is anti-life.
Yeah.
Because they aren't supporting this movie. And that's kind of just seeing some of the fans of the film and some of the people involved in the film I've seen saying similar things like that. Well, if you don't support the movie, you don't support life. Seeing accusations of people in their salvation
at the very least seems in poor taste.
I think that there's people who they focus, like you said, on evangelism. I see, you know, the Creation Museum, they Ken Ham focuses on creation, and that's what he's dedicated his life to. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different things that people have dedicated their life to that are still Christians. I just thought that that was interesting to see that. And so I appreciated what you had to say.
Well, thank you. No one in the movie and no one associated with the movie is at odds. We just have different opinions about how we feel on this topic. I just have the opinion similar to what you do, that we all have our different ministries, and I feel like K-Love is honoring theirs. And I hate that some of our fans have kind of badgered them, which I don't think is an effective way to get them to do what you want them to do. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish that people had just loved them and shown kindness and said, we respect your decision. Would you consider going about it in a different way? Would you consider interviewing Ashley or airing a family-friendly version of the trailer? I don't know. There's different ways maybe that we could have approached this that I wish had been considered to begin with.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's a fascinating world, especially, you know, whenever you get into something that is a hot-button issue. I've struggled with that with my own channel, with my own... Now, this is the second podcast I've done that's surrounding this film. There are people on both sides who are very angry.
And it's just, it's not what I built my channel around. And so part of me feels like it's probably more beneficial for everybody if I just focus on what I built my channel around.
Some things that are more important, like faith. Honestly, I think that eternal life is more important than pro-life, even though pro-life is important as well.
Now, you know you're going to get blasted for saying that.
Yeah, that's fine. I know. But I'm brave enough
because,
to say it.
Because, you know, a lot of people will say that beating around the bush and not talking about it is not helping. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are ways to talk about it and explore where you stand on it on a personal level. And you don't necessarily have to have that bold voice to say something about it, but we should be having conversations about it, civil conversations about it.
When it comes to like salvation and sharing my faith, I never want to lose friends for the sake of preaching at them. And
right.
I'm not saying that I avoid talking about my faith because I don't want them to, I don't want to lose their friendship. But there's a point where every conversation can't be about their sin. And every conversation can't be about what they are doing wrong or how they don't believe the same thing as you do. If I do that, I can be a really annoying person. If that's all I'm talking about, they just will move on to other friends.
Yeah. I've always said that the greatest testimony you have is the way that you choose to live your life. Mm-hmm. And someone said to me last week that they wanted to be my kind of Christian, which I thought was really funny. But she went on to say, you're happy. I want to be happy. You're kind. I want to be kind. You're honest. I want to be honest. You're a good person. I want to be a good person. And if you attribute that to God, then I want to know more.
Wow.
And that's the best way that I think we're going to reach people is just by living by example.
How do you find those sorts of balances whenever you have disagreements? Because, you know, you work so far, you've worked in a lot of Christian films. Obviously, you just said that you kind of know how to communicate and kind of give that sort of leeway to people who aren't Christians that you have. You can tell me if I'm misinterpreting, but what I imagine is you have grace on people and let the Holy Spirit work on them. How do you do that same thing with Christians?
I just kind of do the same thing with them. I love them where they are. And I've had conversations with people where I've said, you know, I think that preaching at people and scaring them is not necessarily the best way to bring them closer to Christ. I believe that showing people the love of Christ is how we soften their hearts. And my great grandma always told me that we catch more flies with honey. I mean, that was something she instilled in me since I was a kid. And I didn't really understand it until I was a lot older. But I think that that's the way we do it. And I'm not saying to sugarcoat things by any means, but to live your life in a way that reflects the principles of being a true Christian.
I agree. Wow, we're agreeing on so much today.
It's crazy.
I tried to ask you if there was anything you disagreed with me about my reviews, because that always leads to some fun conversations, but you didn't. So now we're just sitting here agreeing with each other.
Well, I heard a rumor that you might have visited the last Kendrick Brothers film.
Oh, well, I mean, perhaps.
Perhaps, which I think if you did, I'm not saying or confirming that you did, but I think that if you did that, that is some insight into what the Christian movie industry wants to do. You know, we want to take constructive criticism to be better. Mm. And that is the first step, is to welcome it. And if you were there, I commend you, because I'm sure you felt like an outsider.
You know, it's funny because I grew up in church and in Southern Baptist churches. So like the Kendrick Brothers are actually kind of my stomping grounds. Like the way they are is very similar to the way my dad is. And so I actually felt pretty comfortable.
Good.
Hanging around them. And Alex actually was
so you are confirming. You're confirming the rumor is true.
Oh, right. Allegedly, okay. I felt comfortable there. No, actually, I can confirm that, because I had Alex on the podcast and we talked about that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Here's one thing that I've noticed. People will kind of, they want to look at Christian movies as like a monolith, that there's just kind of, are Christian movies, quote unquote, getting better or getting worse? The truth of the matter is, it's not one or the other. Mm-hmm. There are really bad Christian movies, like The Trump Prophecy, for example, is one.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even know that existed.
You should check out my review, because outside of Princess Cut, I feel like it's one of my favorites that I've done. It doesn't. It's nuts. I won't go into it. I'll just let you enjoy it. Yes, I think that there's some people, like I think the Kendrick Brothers were very interested, especially Alex was super interested to find out my thoughts about their upcoming film. He actually let me look over the script before they filmed it. And
That's really awesome.
I sent him some of my thoughts. I don't know that he used a lot of them, but I sent them to him anyway. I was super honored by that. And so I think that there's people like that who want to improve the quality of Christian films. And then I think there's people who want to sue me.
Well, then that just means you're doing a great job at what you're doing.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, speaking of just Christian films and one genre, I just can't wait until the day where it's just considered drama. Because do you remember that Julia Roberts movie a long time ago where I think she...
The Sound of Music?
What is that? Yep. No.
I remember.
It's the one where she, I think, went to this place and she just meditated for a long time. Uh-huh. I think Love is in the title. I can't remember, but it was basically about, I think it was Buddhism that she was practicing.
Oh, I was thinking Julie Andrews.
No, Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Seriously.
Notting Hill, that's the movie you're thinking of.
No, it's not. But, you know, that was just considered drama. It wasn't considered faith-based.
Uh-huh.
So I'm so ready for us to move into an area where people just see it as drama.
Yes.
And they can appreciate it for that.
Well, that's the interesting thing. I always see Christian movies as a market rather than a genre. It's like kids' movies. Kids' movies can be all kinds of genres, but then they're also kind of put into this category of kids' movies. And and the fact is, they're marketed at kids. Kids' movies can be bad, and they could be good. And Christian movies are the same way.
Yeah, that's a great point.
People have told me, like, yeah, but Kevin, they reach their target audience. And I'm like, okay, but a genre is defined by certain characteristics of the genre. So like an example of a genre is found footage. If I were to review a found footage movie and I'm like, well, the camera, it's just shaking everywhere. Well, that would be inappropriate of me to criticize that. I may say, well, I don't like this genre, and so I don't like the shaky cam. But I can't say this movie's bad because it has shaky cam, because that's an attribute of the genre.
Mm-hmm.
But with Christian movies, I don't think that Christianity is inherently cheesy, like you said about the Buddhist thing. You may disagree with the religion or the ideology that's being presented, but it doesn't mean that the movie isn't well done.
Yeah, and I remember it being a really good movie.
Did you convert to Buddhism?
No, and see, that's the thing. I think there's something that we can take away from good movies. When we watch a good movie, what does it do? It makes us think. It moves us in some way. And there were some really good things in that movie. But no, I'm not Buddhist. I'm still a Christian.
Wow. But you're going to get a lot of flack for that from all my Buddhist fans. So what?
Yeah, because you have so many of those.
I do. I have a second channel where I just review Buddhist movies. Not true.
Someone's going to be looking for that.
I wonder if there are. I haven't even looked into it. I'm going to look into Buddhist films, see how many there are. Maybe we'll there's a new Sega Night Kevin sub series. So what are some of the movies that you draw inspiration from?
That's an interesting question. You know, I like really smart actors. I like actors that don't spell everything out, where their performance is nuanced. I'd say some people I look up to are Rachel McAdams, Natalie Portman. Meryl Streep is an obvious choice because she just transforms. She's a totally different kind of actor than I am, but she just completely transforms every time she plays a character. I don't know. I like movies that make you think. I do like psychological thrillers and stuff like that. I'm known to pick movies that make everyone cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like to be emotionally moved, you know? I like movies that are kind of gritty, that I obviously love redemption stories because I think that hope is so important to leave people with, to know that no matter how many mistakes you've made or how far you've gone, that there's always hope. And for me, that hope is in Jesus Christ. But to leave people with that, I think, is a really good thing. I hate those movies that end and you're like, oh, man, that was the worst thing that could have happened today.
I think that.
Oh, that movie, by the way, Julia Roberts' movie is called Eat, Pray, Love.
Eat, Pray, Love. Okay.
Speaking of Julia Roberts, I love her too, and I love Erin Brockovich.
Oh, yeah.
And I think movies like that can make a really huge impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was talking to somebody about the film Juno recently, and there's some aspects I think are dated in that film. Just there is this quirkiness that everybody was doing in movies, almost inspired by Napoleon Dynamite, I feel like.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
And so Juno suffers from some of that, but that's an example, I think, of a movie that really has a pro-life message within it.
But it handled it really well in an honest and straightforward and not cheesy way, and it had a budget that was pretty close to what Unplanned had.
I appreciated that movie. For that reason.
A lot of people did. I read an article the other day that I found really interesting on the topic of abortion in movies. And I think the article was titled something like Why Abortion Never Works in a Movie. And they were talking about the choice to have an abortion. And it's just not something that we like to see. I don't recall ever seeing a movie or a TV show where someone exercised their right to choice. And I thought, well, this is great.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never, and they gave examples from Girls, which is a show on HBO, and a character who chose to have an abortion on that show, and how people just didn't really like that. They didn't really respond to that. The article was really interesting.
That is interesting. I feel that way. I think I thought about this because I was thinking about the movie Star Wars and what are they going to do to kind of redeem Kylo Ren in this trilogy. And how difficult it will be for them to do that because he's killed so many people, and for him to not just be redeemed, but redeemed and then become a leader.
Now, you know, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Okay. So what do you think?
You're speaking my language. I don't really care for Rey, if I'm being honest. Uh-huh. I'm probably, people are going to hate me for saying that, or they're going to love it.
Did you try out for the part? Is that why?
No, but funny enough, I just auditioned for a movie to play opposite her. So that was funny.
Let me know.
Yeah, I think that time has come and gone. But I like really strong women. And I feel like she has this kind of weakness to her that I don't particularly care for. I'm just like, come on, girl, you're a Jedi. Get it together.
Yeah.
And she's kind of still like struggling with it. I feel like I don't feel like she's really gotten confident in who she is.
Yes.
I'm just so ready for her to be confident.
I was just telling a friend about that. I was like, I don't understand why, based on this, the most recent trailer, and this is going to date my episode, but I don't care. I feel like she, three movies in, she should have already become confident. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, all right, this is something that I feel like should have happened in the first movie where she kind of gains this confidence so then we can see her Jedi-ing about.
Yeah. Exactly. But going back to Kylo Ren, yes. I'm a huge Darth Vader fan. Okay. Darth Vader is one of my favorite characters.
You know he was the bad guy, right?
Yes, I know. And people are also going to hate this, but I actually liked Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader.
Wow.
Okay. Sometimes, don't judge me. Sometimes directors have a reason for making actors act a certain way. Mm-hmm. And just FYI, sometimes us as actors don't agree with that direction. Mm-hmm. That's what makes the final cut. But it's our job to listen to a director and to also give our own takes. You know, we're artists. We're supposed to paint the canvas with our own flavor. But sometimes the directors choose what they want to put out there. I liked Hayden because we saw that internal struggle. I watched all the Star Wars movies in chronological order, by the way. So I didn't start with the original one.
No.
it was good. What are you kidding me? And Solo was out at the time that I watched it. So we actually stopped watching it on Apple TV and we went to the theater, watched Solo, then came back and watched the rest of them.
I thought that was great. Wait, that's the first time you watched them?
Yeah.
I just can't imagine knowing already who Darth Vader was and then seeing him say, "I'm your father," and not being a surprise. Like, I know culturally we already know, but when I saw it as a kid, my parents didn't tell me. So I watched that and was like, what? Wait, what?
But then you also know that Luke and Leia are brother and sister. So when she kisses him, I'm like, no!
No, don't do this!
Yeah. But I mean, I liked it because it gave me so much more character development to look at. And I thought, especially with Solo, like Han Solo was one of my favorite characters. I'm so devastated by that.
Yeah. Maybe they'll bring him back.
Seeing Solo, it's one of my favorite Star Wars movies.
Wow.
But okay, back to Darth
Vader.
All right,
you're going to get, forget all the grief you've gotten for being an unplanned, okay?
I have awakened the Star Wars fan. Darth Vader was an incredible character. He's a tragic hero. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be the path that Kylo Ren takes. You know, Darth Vader ended up dying for his son, give him life.
If Darth Vader didn't die, imagine if he became the leader of the resistance. I almost feel like that would be hard to grasp, even though the Bible has that story with Paul.
I was just going to say, Paul. I mean, it works.
Yeah.
It's Abby, okay? If you've seen Unplanned, it's the same thing with Abby. Abby is... She does a 180.
So you said that there are sometimes situations where you're directed to do something that you don't necessarily feel like that's the best direction to go. I don't want you to have to offend any of your favorite directors you've worked with, but is there a situation you feel like that happened to you in?
I pretty much hate voiceover.
Okay, yeah.
I can be honest and say that. I mean, I make it pretty well known. There were some instances when we were filming Unplanned, and Chuck and Carrie know this. I mean, it's not a shock to them. We talked about it on set, and there was more voiceover. And there were instances where the scene was just supposed to be us doing stuff, and then there's voiceover. But they gave me the freedom to improv. And I think that anytime a director gives you freedom to improv, that they trust you. You know, they want you to exercise your creative freedom. And in doing so, they loved the scene. They actually kept a lot of the improv that I did. And
so there was more voiceover originally? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. There was way more voiceover. And, you know, part of that was just the script being written the way it was. I mean, it's straight from someone's basically diary. I mean, Abby's book kind of reads like her diary. And they did that just to kind of move the script along so that it was easier to read.
I know why people use voiceover.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's more for the script.
I won't criticize.
I feel like sometimes.
People do ask me sometimes, Kevin, why? Because I always am like, ugh, voiceover, because every Christian movie has it. And it can be used well. I think that Quentin Tarantino is pretty well known for using voiceover in a unique way. And Scorsese does that, too, like in Goodfellas. But oftentimes it's used as kind of a cop-out to say things without showing them.
Yeah.
I think the beginning of The Lord of the Rings kind of, even though that's a well done movie, I'm like, man, why did they have to narrate all of this to set up the world? And I kind of get that.
Yeah, I fell asleep like 3 times during Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
I know people
You've
are going to hate me for
every
that too.
Nerd listening to my podcast.
Whatever. Some nerds agree with me, okay, about Star Wars.
I just feel like voiceover oftentimes is used as a crutch to kind of fill in these gaps that would be much more interesting and impactful and actually emotionally moving if we weren't just listening to someone read to us.
Yeah, I agree. I think sometimes we underestimate our audience when we use voiceover, or we underestimate our actor's ability to perform in a way that suggests that and let our audience just pick up on it. I don't personally care for a lot of voiceover. I've made that known. And I think there are a lot of places in Unplanned that it works really well and it's necessary. And then sometimes I don't care as much for it. And they did take a lot of my feedback to heart. I mean, they got rid of a lot of that voiceover based on what we started with and what we ended with. So I love Chuck and Carrie. They're probably my favorite directors I've worked with to date.
So tell me a little bit about how you got involved with Unplanned.
So random. I had a Instagram follower send me a message and say, I've been praying for you for a year and I feel like God is telling me you're meant to play this part. And I didn't know her. I just thought she was crazy.
Yeah.
And I blew her off. I was like, you're so sweet. Thank you so much. And that was it. So a couple weeks later, she followed up and she said, Ashley, have you auditioned for the part? I'm very serious. I think you're meant to play this role. Will you please at least consider it? Can I have your email address so that somebody can send you a couple pages from the script? And she wasn't really involved with the production at all. She was just someone who knew somebody else who was trying to get people to audition. And she got me a couple pages from the script. When she did, I read it and I thought that Abby was really fun. I thought she was kind of feisty and confident and well-spoken and funny, and I liked her. So I auditioned, and after I auditioned was when I finally looked up who Abby was. And I heard her testimony and it really just rocked me to the core, because I didn't have a strong opinion on abortion prior to doing the movie or auditioning, and hearing Abby's testimony, it just really, really moved me. And I felt very strongly that I was compelled to do this movie. I was convicted that I had been wrong, that there was life within the womb that we weren't fighting for. And I just, from that point on, I became the crazy lady and believed that I was supposed to play the part.
So before you got the script, what was your stance on abortion?
I thought that I would never have an abortion.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's my stance, that I'll never have an abortion.
Well, that's easy for you to say. But also that I never encourage anyone else to have an abortion. You know, I've always encouraged people to fight for life. And I can say this with confidence because I had my own unplanned pregnancy. At the same time, I had always just thought, you know, that a woman should have that right to decide, to choose for herself. And after I heard Abby's testimony, I just felt like I had been blinded, because even though I had my own child, I had kind of fallen for that whole campaign that it's just a clump of cells, that it's not really a human or a baby. And that's a lie. It really is a lie, because that baby has its own unique DNA from the moment of conception. That was another thing that blew my mind, that I didn't know. I had no idea that it had its own DNA at the moment of conception. Yeah. I mean, and that this is a human life that is going to continue to develop into a baby and a person. Like, we were all an embryo turned into a fetus, turned into a baby. And I thought, wow, you know, like, if we value human life so much and the sanctity of human life and that we're created in God's image, how horribly wrong I felt I had been to think that the destruction of that life was okay. So auditioning for Abby turned me pro-life.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just thinking about that. I didn't want to interrupt. I have a habit of interrupting people, but I'm working on that. This podcast has been really fascinating, learning to talk to people and not dominate their conversation. tell me a little bit about the production moving into the film. When did you start? And
they really had prayed a lot about who was meant to play Abby, and they felt like God was hiding this person, that they were going to show up whenever God was ready at the right time. And the right time happened to be 5 days before production. I happened to be like the last person that they cast. And so everybody had been freaking out and trusting Chuck and Carrie to hurry up and make the final decision. And when they did, they had talked to me the night before they offered me the role. And they said, you know, this could end your career. They painted the worst case scenario possible because they wanted to know that I was confident enough to really do this. And I told them without hesitation that I didn't care, because I don't find my worth or my value in my projects. I can say with all confidence that I know who I am and I know what I'm worth because of my faith in Jesus Christ. And that's just it for me.
Was there a hesitation to get involved, though?
Not at all.
No, not at all.
No, not at all. Because as soon as I had heard Abby's testimony, I knew. I mean, I had gone home and cried to my husband and told him, "You're never going to believe what happens in an abortion. Like, we have to make this stop." I mean, I was really, really moved. I obviously still am very moved. Mm-hmm. I'm passionate about this now. I've spoken out about it a lot. And there was zero hesitation for me, actually, to the point that they hadn't even sent me the script yet, Kevin. And I told them I was 100% ready to do the role. But I also said to them, you know, I'd really like for you to send me the script because it's midnight. And if you're making a decision tomorrow, I kind of want to know what's in the script so I can make an informed decision.
Yeah.
And so they sent me this script.
They might have changed everything.
Yeah. But I had a lot of confidence in reading it, and God had really prepared my heart for it. So the next day, they said they were going to let me know by 11 a.m. 11 a.m. came and went. And then finally, after I had been praying for an hour, I got the phone call. And they said, "The role is yours. Can you get on a plane in 5 hours? And so it began.
Wow. And how long was production? Yeah.
It was 7.5 weeks, I want to say.
Yeah.
Between 21 and 28 days. And we didn't work on the weekends. So something like that. But yeah, I hit the ground running when I got in Oklahoma. I didn't have time to tell people where I was, except for my husband, my son, my sister were the only ones that knew. And I'm sure you might have heard about my personal story now and my mom calling me. So that was another thing that really kind of rocked my world.
Your personal story is that you found out that your mother had initially was going to have an abortion. Is that correct?
Yeah, not only that, because I think that's a very different thing to process than what actually happened.
Oh, okay.
She was on the table. She was literally minutes, seconds away from me not existing, not having been able to live this life. I still have a hard time thinking what could have happened. All the experiences I've had, the relationships I've had, the people I love and care about, and thinking that that almost never happened within minutes is a lot to process. But God and His providence and grace and kindness revealed this to me when I was here to play Abby and tell Abby's story. And that was another incredible thing, that my mom had carried all this for so long and not told me until I shared with her the role that I was playing. And it blew her mind. She couldn't believe that I almost never had the chance to live my life. And if she had made that decision, then none of this would have happened. I wouldn't be here to tell Abby's story. And my dad, when I told him about it and he confirmed all the details of my mom's story, he just said to me, "This is evidence to me that God is so real and that He had a plan for you from the very beginning." And I wholeheartedly believe that.
That's really fascinating. That's really interesting. I don't know if you watched my or listened to my interview with Doug Johnson or watched my reaction to the trailer, but I ruffled a lot of feathers with that, because I kind of talked about where I was when it comes to abortion, and probably where close to where you were before you got the script. And so it's been really good, though. I'm actually really glad that I initiated that conversation on my channel, because even though people have been very rabid, there have been a lot of people who I've just ignored, because I'm not interested in people telling me that if I just knew science, I would agree with them, because both sides say it. And I'm like, okay, I get it. What I don't like is whenever people don't understand that people might think differently than them, because people do think differently. And sometimes, you know, this is a difficult thing to talk about, but all of that to say, I'm really relieved and glad that I did get to talk to people, and I'm probably err on the side of life more than I did. I'm not going to be out protesting,
right.
But I certainly am more pro-life than I probably was before I made that video.
A lot of people are like that. There's a lot of people who had the same stance I did before they walked into the movie, or before they stopped and really thought, well, if so many people are having this conversation, maybe I should look into what I really believe. And after I did the movie, I was committed to making sure that I could talk to people articulately about it. And I went out to Notre Dame and I studied at their Vita Institute, which is a gathering of pro-life leaders from around the world. And we talked about what it meant to be pro-life in the law, philosophy, theology, just every facet you can think about. We talked about the pro-life stance from that position, and it gave me a lot of insight, and I gained a lot of confidence from going and really digging deeper to know where I stand, because I had so many questions in the beginning, and I felt like a lot of those questions have been answered from studying and talking to other people about their journey.
Yeah. Well, that's so important too. We got to let people discover things on their own. Part of what my, you know, I'm with my channel, I want to encourage people to think for themselves. And, you know, people say that we should question everything, and I agree, but we also have to answer some things along the way as well. We can't just constantly be questioning and never searching for answers. I think that's good. I think that you kind of having that sort of initiation into saying, well, this is something that I haven't really thought about, but now I think it's important to think about. And if people hadn't let you learn, you know, if they said, well, you have to know everything, then that could push you into a direction of just saying, well, forget it. I don't even want to do the research.
Yeah.
I'll be reviewing Unplanned whenever it comes out
on DVD.
I promise. What do you hope my review is?
Well, you know, I've been reading a lot of reviews, and there's obviously tons of people that just hate the movie and they think it's horrible and it's propaganda and they think it's full of lies.
Now, but I will say, propaganda isn't a bad word necessarily.
I agree.
And I'm getting a lot of pushback from people because I get into arguments online, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I do that for research so I could kind of know what I need to cover in my reviews. I'm using people. But people have been telling me, well, all of these things don't matter as long as the message is all that matters. And I'm pretty much anti the message is all that matters. And so if people are telling me, well, the message is all that matters, I'm like, well, then you're admitting that it is propaganda.
Yeah, that's true. But there's also good propaganda. I mean, it has taken on a negative connotation over the years. But you think back to that image of Rosie the Riveter, that, you know, this, we can do it, or Uncle Sam, I want you. I mean, these were things that people used to create a sense of honor and respect for America and encourage people to be proud Americans. I mean, I don't think that was a bad thing.
We can agree to disagree, I suppose.
Really? Not even the Rosie the Riveter one?
Well,
you can do
the
it.
Sam one probably more.
You
know, because I think people get afraid of propaganda when it comes to the church and when it comes to the government. Yeah.
But, you know, I don't agree with the idea that Unplanned is propaganda because we're telling a woman's true story. It's no different than if we had chosen to tell any other person's true story. Hers just happens to be that she worked at Planned Parenthood. She had a change of heart. She did a complete 180 and became pro-life.
Yeah.
That just happens to be her life. So I look at it from that aspect. I think there's a lot of really incredibly powerful things in the movie. And I think that when people do a review, I was really curious because when I started reading some of these critic reviews, they included a lot of their own personal stance on abortion. Mm-hmm. Like there was one reviewer who said, I even use Planned Parenthood services, so I know. And I'm just thinking, I don't know how that even relates to a credible review, because you already walked into it with a huge bias.
Sure.
So in reading some of these, I was curious what makes a good review. And I ordered Anne Hornaday's book. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's called Talking Pictures, How to Watch Movies.
Okay.
And she's a top critic for the Washington Post. And I thought, well, I read some of her stuff and she's fabulous. I think she's an excellent critic.
I'm writing it down now.
Good.
Because I'll check it out.
Yeah, I just started reading it last night and it's great. But I just thought, what makes a good critic and what makes for a good review? And that's what I want to focus on is what are the true critics that I consider to be true critics? What are they saying? And I think that sometimes a true critic is able to recognize the good in a movie that they don't like.
Mm. Yeah. People often will point out, well, you're being biased here. And I'm like, yeah, that a review is your opinion. And you kind of want to be able to recognize that a review is someone's opinion, because art can be subjective, and none of my reviews are like, well, these are the facts. It is an opinion piece. So I will bring in sometimes personal anecdotes. I actually sometimes feel like I should do more just if I have one, because that is a form of argument, is to share like your own personal emotional story. I mean, that's what the movie Unplanned is a personal story. So there is a level to where people kind of see journalism and then they'll apply the journalism rules to a review. And we actually probably don't want that, because then we'll never actually hear some solid opinions. But that makes it easier to write off, to say, well, yeah, that's that person's personal opinion, but that doesn't really convince me.
But I also think that sometimes these critics let it go to their heads and they start writing things as if they're writing fact, and that there's some sort of, you know, they have some sort of God complex or something. When in reality, you know, I think it's better if the people who are writing it and the people who are reading it understand, especially the people who are reading it, understand that, okay, I'm reading somebody's opinion about this movie and it's okay for them to have their opinion, but obviously there are other opinions that I can find. And you know what? I could probably go have my own opinion if I wanted.
Well, I think just basic elements of how to look at movies critically, which I've always tried to do as an artist. Sometimes I have to watch movies more than once because I have such a critical eye that I look at the technical aspects and I think, well, that actor was definitely not living in the moment. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, can I just watch this movie like a regular person?
Once you've seen behind the curtain, then it's hard to it's hard to get back.
Yeah. And so my husband hates watching movies with me. He just says, okay, you promise to be quiet this entire movie. But I mean, it's something that you can't stop doing. I think her book is something that's helpful for a lot of people who don't know how to look at a movie with that eye and to think of it in terms of a tech, because it's a technical job too. I mean, you have to remember that sometimes actors are just looking at a sticker on a monitor. I mean, when I am seeing that pivotal moment in Abby's story where I'm looking at the ultrasound, there's nothing on the screen for me to look at. So that's a technical part of the film that if you can watch that and say, well, I don't maybe agree with it, but that was decent acting, then I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you that you can recognize that I was trying really hard at my craft to do the best I could, even if you don't like what I'm seeing.
Yeah. No, I agree. I read several reviews. I try not to read reviews, but with Unplanned, I had people sending me them. And you know, in order to engage in some conversations, I had to look at some. And one of them I read, and it was very personal. It clearly was personal for the person. I liked the review, but there were a few lines where I was like, well,
this person's complaining about the movie getting political and being one-sided, and yet in the review itself, they're getting political and one-sided. And I've always kind of felt like it's not a criticism to do that, to say like, well, I disagree with this thing, and so the movie isn't good. Because like you said, I think there's lots of movies that I disagree with that can be good, but then there's lots of movies that, because it's saying the thing that I disagree with in a way that's awkward and uncomfortable, well, then that means that the movie isn't good and isn't good at conveying its message.
And so that's why I try not to say, well, Planned Parenthood is bad, and so this movie is good. I don't ever want to like reverse the contradiction and just create a contradiction for myself. That's, I think, what's going to be interesting about reviewing this film is I feel like there is this kind of tendency, there's kind of a rabid nature of the fans, which is fine. It's good to have that. But when I reviewed God's Not Dead, there were people who were like, you shouldn't criticize this movie because people were changed by it. And this one, even people who liked what I said about God's Not Dead feel that way about this film. I'm not looking for whether people were changed by it. There's lots of reviewers that do that, but I just want to look at the movie as a whole and talk about the, you know, the technical and what it is saying and what I think about what it's saying. My hope for Unplanned is that it starts a conversation. I make fun of that line because people always do bad things and they're like, well, we just wanted to start the conversation. But I do think that there is a level to where, you know, if this does encourage people to do what your mom did and not go through with an abortion and raise a human, I think the world is better off if we value life in that way. Even if I have certain disagreements, I think that the movie is doing some good, but not as good as I think the first Princess Cut has done. When those movies come out, I'd love to have you back on and we can talk about your experience with those.
Yeah, I would love that. And I just want to say, you know, Paul and Sheila Munger, they are two of the most collaborative people that I've ever met. I mean, they were so open to our ideas and shifting the script. And I think that is part of what makes a good director a good director. And he and she are learning so much through the process. And, you know, I think that their movies are just going to get better and better, and I'm proud to know them.
Have they seen my review? Because I'd love to have them on the show sometime.
I have not sent it to them
if
or asked
them. If you were
them.
Brave enough, you would share the good news of my review.
I wouldn't be shocked if they had. And just not really said much about it, but they do take all the criticism they get to heart, and they strive to be better.
Well, that's fun. Well, I don't encourage you to do that because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Too bad.
Oh, Kevin. Right. I've already done it. All right. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me.